Amen. We truly bless the Lord today. Amen. We're going to invite Bishop Lox to come up tomorrow to the all COVID this morning. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We are honored to have him in our presence. You're not retired, you're still preaching, right? Amen. So, what did you like? Are you here next Sunday? You're pulling the plug, you're going to hear from somebody who really sit down south this week? Alright, so we got you over to give you a week, Bishop. I know Bishop don't need but a couple minutes. But we'd love to hear the word from you next week, amen. Amen. So, we just bless the Lord. I always defer to bishops. I know my place, amen. And we're just honored to have him with us. And we thank God for him, for Evangelist Lawless. I know Evangelist Lawless is waiting to give his testimony, right? But it's still a trial. Amen. we serve a mighty good God. I mean, oh, God can take you from what seemed like a disaster and turn it into a blessing. That's all I'm going to say. Amen. We'll see the rest with him. Truly, we're blessed today to be here. Amen. Be in church one more time. The song said we didn't have to make it in, but we're here today because of God's grace. We're here because of God's mercy. We're here because of God's kindness. Can we say hallelujah? Amen. So we thank God for my wife being here. She's been pressing her way. Amen. Dealing with challenges, health challenges. But still, God is good. You know, today, if you woke up, you have the breath of life in your body. The Bible said, let everything that has breath, let everything that has breath, it didn't say you have to be in the best physical condition. It didn't say you have to be in the best financial position. But if you woke up this morning and you're still breathing, you ought to be able to say, thank you. If you aren't breathing, I'm not talking to you. If you aren't breathing, I'm not talking to you. But if you are breathing, you ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Come on, say, thank you, Jesus. Somebody laid down last night, but didn't wake up this morning, but God bless you with breath. So don't let the devil play in your mind saying, this hurt, that hurt, the other thing hurt. You ought to praise him while you have a chance. Lord, thank you. Amen. We bless the Lord. I don't know about you, but I already told you, I'm praying. If I got to pray, God has not given, can we get the church? Alright, how do I pray for y'all? Can we say the church?
The church!
God is not in the church. The spirit of fear. If God's not giving the church the spirit of fear, the question is, why do we have so much fear? Well, we know that God is a keeper. God is a healer, amen? So we just bless the Lord. We thank God today for having Dr. Tariq with us. And it's an honor to have him with us today as well. So we ask you to stand for our scripture reading today. I got my testimony and God's been good to me. Amen. God has made ways out of no way. You know what I like about my blessings from God? They don't have to be a material or financial blessing. God has blessed me to be in my right mind, and the right mind is a saved mind. So as long as I got a mind to be saved, I'm grateful. Amen. You know, we go out. How many of us is a pretty big church? This ain't no kind of big. How many of us is a big, pretty big church? I come here and work every day. You know what? Because I'm grateful. Glad that God bless us. Amen. And it will be great. Alright. Yo, let's go to Jonah first. God's been good to me. I can't help but thank you. I can't help but bless you. Amen. You know, if we ever see God, how God truly is, how good God has been to us, you won't have a reason to complain. Amen. Because God has made ways out of no way. So we're going to read from Jonah, the first chapter, and I'm not going to read all of it this time. Let's just read from verses 1 through 17, if you all don't mind. All right? We all know the story of Jonah. But let's read this from 1 through 17. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 1 reads, for those who don't have their Bible, it's on the screen. Now the word of the Lord came unto So Jonah was not being self-governed and self-directed, but having no God was speaking to him. The son of Amittai saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from sometimes in church we have a whole mind. God says go, and he went the opposite direction. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go to Tarshish, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence
of the Lord.
That's a hard thing to do, John. You can't go where God ain't. You can't go from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the bread that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten of them. But Jonah was going down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil has come upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? What is thy country? And what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto them, and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the seas be come unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea was raw and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So he took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea, they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea, they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and they vowed. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Now let's pray. Lord, we take nothing for granted. Lord, we honor you today, and we bless your name. Lord, we're not here because we've been so good. Lord, we're not here because we prayed so hard. But we're here today because of your abundant mercy. Lord, we're here today because of your kindness. Lord, we're here today because you made ways for us where there was no way. Lord, we ask you today to send a word to heal us. Lord, send a word to deliver. Lord, send a word to set free. Lord, send a word to draw backsliders back to thee. Lord, send a word, O God, so that our lost and unsaved may cry out, what must I do to be saved? And Lord, send a word to heal, send a word to deliver, and send a word to set free. And for this we thank you in the church in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I wondered this morning, and this is something that only we can answer for, how many of us are Jonas? I'm not talking about what you or somebody else has told you to do. But how many of us have God spoken to and told us to do something, and we decided we would do the opposite of what God said? I wonder how many of God sent to Nineveh, but we are fleeing and going in another direction. We're living in the day in the apostolic church, where apostolic saints have lost their spiritual GPS. GPS guides and leads you supposed to be in the right direction. Some of us have lost our spiritual GPS. God is trying to lead us to one place. And because we are self-willed, self-governed, and self-directed, we're going the opposite of what God has told us to do. So I'm going to go back. We all know the story pretty much of Jonah. I'm going to read verses 4 through 7. And then I will give us our message. Amen. And actually, I don't get messages early, but for some reason, the Lord started dealing with me with this one kind of early. Amen. In the week, this message just, I was sitting praying one day and just dropped it to my spirit. Amen. Just dropped it to me. I said, okay, Lord, usually I don't get it to almost Sunday morning. No matter how much I pray and study, sometimes I'm like, Lord, I don't know how those other preachers do it. I can't get it. Right? But the Lord gave me this one early. Amen. So let's read. Now we know that God told Jonah to go one place, and Jonah's going the opposite direction. Right? So now listen, I just want to give you a little background history. From Joppa to Nineveh was 500 miles. From Joppa to Tarshish was 2,500 miles. So Jonah said, I'm going to get so far away from Nineveh, because he didn't think they were worthy of salvation. We mess up when we try to make it what God has to do. We mess up. Because Jonah's going the opposite direction, because in his spirit, he discerned that they up in Nineveh, the Syrians, were not worthy of salvation. So he's going to be 3,000 miles away from what God told. But God said, I got a mission for you. How many of God got a mission for us? Everybody in church, you got a calling on your life. God can call you to sit in church. Even if I talked to a minister in his 90s, I was still working for the Lord. Bishop said, he said, amen. He said, still working for the Lord. I think you owe the most of our people living. So you're going to take away excuses for retirement. You know, I heard a preacher say, he's in his 90s, he said, I'll retire when I get there. That's my retirement. How many know when God gives you your retirement, the old saying is your retirement will be out of this world. But Jonah purpose. He wasn't going to do what God wanted him to do. I mean, the weak opposite of God. God knows how to get your attention. God said, go. You said, I don't think they deserve it. So I'm going to go the opposite direction. Let me give you just a little something. Assyrians served Dagon. Dagon was a fish god. Sometimes you say God has some company or some humor.
Right.
Because Jonah is fleeing from the fish worshippers. Who called Jonah?
Fish.
God has some humor.
Yes.
See, you're running from the fish. I'm going to give a fish to catch it. All right, the verse 4. So he's running from the Lord. Thinking that if I go far enough away, I can escape the call that God has. Verse 1 says, the Lord came unto. There's no doubt God is speaking. How about how many of us have the Lord came to? But we just doing what we want to do. God is supposed to say, do this.
Come on.
I can't do this, I'm going to do that. Well, God knows what to get your attention. Verse 4 says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea. So the ship was like to be
broken.
When God gets your attention, he don't get in the ordinary way. These men were used to sailing. They were used to going in the sea. But there was something different about this storm. This storm got their attention. This storm let them know something is wrong. I wonder, do any of us have some storms in our lives today? I'm not talking about an ordinary storm, but we're talking about a great storm. We're talking about a storm that's out of ordinary proportions. We're talking about a storm where you look at it and you say, now, I know this has to be God because this ain't a regular storm. And God is trying to get your attention. Now we know that, now, well, not trying to get your attention, he's trying to get your full attention. Amen. Because you get attention, like sometimes my wife would be talking to me, she said, "Did you hear me?" I said, "Yes." She said, "What did I say?" I said, "I don't know." She had my attention, but it wasn't my full attention. You understand? So sometimes God has our attention. We hear him, but we don't hear him. God is speaking, but we don't hear him. God is directing us, but we don't hear him because he has our partial attention. But how many know in a storm, God needs all your attention? When he's here, we're in a storm. When Katrina hit, Washington, D.C. was there. FEMA was there. The Army Corps of Engineers were there. Because they only, initially, Katrina only had their partial attention. But when that great storm hit, they had their full attention. Last year, we had a warning that a tropical storm was coming to Louisiana again. That storm name was Harvey. Harvey came through and initially had their partial attention. But when that great storm hit, they had their full attention. Amen. So a great storm will get your full attention. Like I said, in the Northeast, we have storms. So every once in a while, we have a storm. They say, "Oh, prepare for the storm. Don't go out. Don't do this." So, because we don't really pay attention, we just say, "Okay, the storm is coming." But when they say you had a great Northeastern storm, then you go to the supermarket, you can't even find a bottle of water. You can't find no food like it did during the storm. You know how it goes. That storm had their full attention. So people went to supermarkets, wasn't no water. Went to supermarket, wasn't no food because it had their full attention. So now we're in a great storm. And the question is, does God have our full attention? Because we're purposing what we're going to do, and we're going to do one thing. But God said, because I don't have your full attention, I can't give you an ordinary storm. Because I let you go to an ordinary storm, you're going to just poo-poo it away. But I'm going to send a great storm. And when you get in a great storm, God said, "I'm going to have your full attention." So we know Jonah was going the opposite of what God told him to do. Jonah was being disobedient. So God said, "The only way I can get you back on track is I let something devastating happen in your life. I got to let a storm come of unmeasurable proportion so I can get you to come back to me." So he asked Jonah, he said, "Well, Jonah, how can we fix this situation? Amen. How, what can we do?" Jonah said, "Throw me overboard." But how do you know their purpose is going to go their way? So the Bible said he rose hard trying to get to land. And the harder they rode, the worse the storm got. It got to the point that the mariner said, "Listen, we got to do something because we're about to perish." How many times have we been disobedient to God and got other people in trouble? You know, how many times have we been disobedient, going the opposite of what God told us to do, and other people got in trouble? So God, Jonah said, "Don't be overboard." The mariner said, "Nah, we're going to fight this storm." But when God sent a storm, and a man, a demon in hell, can get you out. You know what? When God sent a storm, I ain't talking about like a tropical little storm. I'm talking about
cross, hit that stone. No. So no, Aaron is blowing hard. They go on, they tap out, they were doing everything to try to make it. But he said, we got to do something different because we are not ready to perish. So he said, Lord, then all of a sudden, those one that was calling on those little G-O-D's in the beginning, when it got bad, they called L-O-R-D. And then Lord, God to move. Say, wait a minute. We got to pray. We got to do some sacrificing. But we ain't going to mess with that, God, because he can't help us. We're going to go to the Lord of all here. King of Kings. They pray to the Lord of them. When we cast him over, don't hold his blood against us. Don't hold his blood against us. We just do it. And he said in that verse, he said, Lord, remember, you sent this storm. Right? And he used it this storm, so we just do it. So they took Jonah and they threw him. You know how kind of dog he's here?
To get you to where I want you to go.
So when he leaves from Joppa, the fish catches him out of the sea. Now, I like to give details because sometimes we just miss it. Do you realize the miracles that God performed? The fish picks him up in the sea down in Joppa. But it releases him hundreds of miles up near Nineveh.
Same day when evil was coming, he said to them, let us pass over unto thee.
Who's it wouldn't be far. It didn't say you're going to have troubles. It didn't say you're going to have trials. It didn't say you're going to have, or going to have pain. It said no weapon shall prosper. And then as you look on to that, every tongue that arises against you in judgment, he will condemn it. Because you're an inheritance of God. So, yes, you're going to have troubles. Because me, of the afflictions of the righteous. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them. Paul said, he went back confirming the souls and said that we shall through much, much. It ain't going to be easy. You're going to have to press. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight the devil and everything else, but we're going to have to press our way through. So then this is Jesus. He said, we're going to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were other little ships also. And there arose. There arose. Lord, we're doing what you're saying. You mean we got a storm? We're being obedient. What you said, do we got a a regular storm, what is it?
Been
a great storm.
Yeah.
And he sent a great storm wind and a wind beat to the ship so they were down. And he, Jesus, was in it, hit the part of the helm where the captain drive the ship. The helm. Y'all know what I mean. He's up there, Jesus. He's still driving the ship. Because he didn't go where there was no control, he went to where there was full control. He went to the higher part of the ship. He was asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him, saying unto him, listen, this ain't a regular storm. Now listen, most of them were fishermen, so they were used to going up and down the Sea of Galilee. They were used to dealing with storms. But there was something different about this storm. These waves were beating so much that the ship was filling up. And they went to Jesus and said, Master, care not that we perish. Lord, thank you. So in the midst of the storm, God got their attention. And just like John, when I need help, when I need a savior, when I need a deliverer, because even in the midst of trouble, God.
Yes.
Paul said, if you would have listened the first time, you wouldn't be in the position that you're in now.
Yes. Yes.
How many know when God gives our full attention, he should have to speak over and over? We should just be able to hear from God and ask God. The Bible said, in the day that you hear our voice, God said, harden not your heart as in the day of promise. If you know the Lord has been speaking to you this morning, I don't know your storm. Your storm is not intended to destroy you. Your storm is intended to get your attention. God is trying to get your attention. You look at the storm and say, every day I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow because the storm is so bad. This storm is about to destroy me. I feel like I'm about to perish because of the storm. But it's time once again to lift your eyes and heal from what's coming to your head. Don't leave God out of your circumstances. Don't leave God out of your situations. Amen. We'll find out if you read Jonah, the more they wrote, worship God. If you read about the apostles, the more they tried to get the water out of the fourth chapter, the worship God. If you read about that account in Acts 27 chapter, the more those men worked, the worship God. You know why? They were trying to do what God would do. In our lives, in our storms, we can't do what God has to do. So it's so important today that you have a mindset to remember your other gifts.